What a blessing. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad that wherever you're going, if you know the Lord, you're going to end up in heaven. Amen. It'll end at the throne. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalms number 37. And I'm going to share some passage here with you in just a few minutes and bring you a message. And I'm aware of what time it is. I think we've used God's time wisely this morning. I've enjoyed all of that. I'll tell you, though, us senior citizens got this service stirred up. Did y'all see that? Praise God, business picked up when those senior saints sang. And I appreciate that. I thank the Lord for them and for us. Amen. I keep thinking about it. I used to be the youngest preacher everywhere I went. And now I'm still the youngest, although I'm old. I hang around with the wrong crowd. I reckon they all old. You have your Bibles open. I want to read to you a portion of scripture out of what I call David's old man psalm. David was an old man when he wrote this, and I think also when he wrote Psalms 23. But in Psalms 37, a psalm of David. David wrote this when he was an old man. And I won't say it, Brother Stacy. I told Stacy, I said, you don't look like a senior citizen. And he made a comment. If you wonder what it was, you can ask him in private. Don't ask him around Helen, and he won't get in trouble. But at any rate, I want you to look at this verse for me. In Psalms 37, look at verse number 25. David said, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said, I've been young, and now am old. Let's bow together for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to help me now. I pray, God, you'd give your anointing. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir and the congregation this morning. Thank you for blessing the senior saints and blessing our hearts through their singing. Thank you, our Father, for Miss Jana this morning, and God, for the wonderful song you laid on her heart to sing. And Lord, I want to thank you for Brad, for his gifts of music and ministry. And I thank you, God, for the privilege of being here today. We do thank you for those, our Father, who've been faithful to you through the years, and God, who continue to love you and serve you now. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would bless our Father as we share the Word of God now. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to share this with you this morning from this passage of Scripture. And there are three truths that I'm going to want to draw from this passage of Scripture, this one verse right here. And I don't have a lapel mic on, so I'm going to stay right here. And that might be a good job for one of these young men. Make sure it's up here on Sunday so I don't have to hunt it. So that'd be a blessing. But notice three little truths out of this passage of Scripture. And in this passage of Scripture, number one, David gives a personal testimony. And then he shares with us some powerful truths. And then he tells us, gives us some practical teaching in this passage of Scripture. So watch it, if you will, please. And I won't finish this morning. I'll just quit when it's time to go eat. And so you hang with me until we get through. Is that all right? You say amen. Amen. Now, don't go to sleep on me, praise God. You got excited when you old people's up here. And I'm up here and I'm old, so stay excited. Amen. Notice in the first place what David's personal testimony is. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. David served the Lord as a young man. And I'll tell you something, people. There's not one of these senior saints that was up here that would tell you to wait till you get old or serve God. Don't wait till you get middle-aged to serve God. Some of them got saved in middle age, and some of them get saved till later years. Some of them, like Miss Peggy and Miss Delores and Brother Mitchell and others, and myself and quite a few others maybe, got saved when they were young people. When they were children, they got saved. But every one of them, to a person, I tell you, don't waste your youth. Don't waste your strength. Live for God now. Trust God now. David, as a young man, live for God, and he served God. In the first place, I'd suggest to you that David, as a young man, served his father. If you look at the passage of Scripture there, you'll see in the life of David, the things he did. He reflects and gives testimony. We know that as a young man, he kept the father's sheep, and he helped his daddy do that. And that was one of his tasks that he did, but he helped his father. Now, I want to encourage you young people to recognize that you serve God when you serve others. And particularly, he said, when he gave the Ten Commandments, you're to honor your father and your mother. It's not right for you to say, well, I'm going to go to church house and serve God without you taking time to serve your mom and dad and your grandparents. You need to honor them, and you need to pay attention to them, and you need to serve them. David, as a young man, knew the importance of serving his father. But David also served his brethren. You remember when the Bible says that his father called him and gave him provision to take to his brothers who were in war? David was there working. He was doing what his father wanted him to do. But he was willing to go and go into the battlefront and to serve his brother. He was willing to go there and to get him his provision and take it to his brethren. And you ought to understand this. You ought to minister to one another. The Bible said as believers, we ought to love one another and care one for another and pray for the brethren. And whether it's physical or natural brothers or whether it's brothers in Christ, we ought to learn to serve one another. But then I emphasize this to you as well. When he was a young boy, David served the Lord. David served the Lord as a young man. He gave his heart to him and he loved him. And he served the Lord as a young man. He served God in very practical ways. You know, the Bible tells us this, that when he came to see his brethren, there was this great giant called Goliath. And David is there and this giant's challenging all the armies of Israel. And they've all cowered down and they won't go out and face him. And David questioned that. Why don't anybody go out? And this Philistine who curses the God of Israel, why didn't he go out? And why don't you go out and take care of him? And anyhow, David volunteers. And he doesn't go out because he's a good boy. He doesn't go out because that he's a skilled with a sling. He goes out, he said, in the name of the Lord. That giant came to him with a sword and spear and with a shield. And David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God. And God used him, and he slung that sling with a rock, and it hit that giant, and he fell down, and he took the giant's sword and cut his head off. He served God as a young man. He sang the praises of God as a young man. Remember, Saul was king, and they brought David in, and David strummed on the harp, and he sang, and it was calming. I don't believe he sang Blueberry Hill or nothing like that. How many of y'all know he didn't sing Blueberry Hill or Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog? I believe he sang praises to God. And as a young man, he served God in music. And listen, I want you to understand, you ought to give your life to Christ. You ought to use your gifts for Christ. And David began doing that as a young man. He served Christ. He slew the giant. And then as a young man, he was selected to be king. He was a shepherd, and he was a singer, and he was a songwriter, and he was a servant, but he was to be a sovereign. He was to be king. God had a plan for his life. And don't miss it. Every part of his life was preparing him for what God's plan ultimately would be for him to be king of Israel. God prepared him. Give your life to Christ when you're young. Serve him when you're young. Be obedient to Christ and do what Christ wants you to do. Don't waste your life. Several years ago, and in another sermon, I share with you a story I heard Dr. Stephen Olford tell. He was pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in New York City for several years. And then he was in evangelism, Bible conference speaking. But Dr. Olford was a great man of God. And Dr. Olford said that his daddy was a preacher and loved the Lord. But his uncle went completely different than his daddy did. His uncle went into the business world. He had turned his back on the things of God, didn't care anything about the Bible, didn't care anything about God. He was interested in making money. His Brother Stephen Olford's daddy, this man's brother, had witnessed to him most all of his life, and he wouldn't listen, didn't have anything to do with it. But there came a point in time when the brother was dying, and he sent a word to Stephen Olford's daddy to come and share and help him. And he went, and when he arrived, the man was crying. His uncle was crying, his brother was crying. And he said, Brother, what in the world's wrong? He said, I'm dying. And he said, I'm afraid to die. And Dr. Olford said his daddy took the word of God and his own brother, and he shared with him how that Christ loved him and Christ died for him and Christ gave his life that he might have everlasting life. And that whosoever will can turn at any point in their life, whenever it is, you can turn to Christ. And so the Spirit of God was dealing with this lost man, and he turned and he gave his heart to Christ. He received Christ and he rejoiced, and they wept together and cried together. And Stephen Olford's daddy, who was a preacher, was rejoicing that his brother, who'd been lost for all those years, now would be with him in heaven. And so he rejoiced, and he left. And no sooner did he get home, the phone was ringing again. And he was his brother in the hospital, and he was weeping again uncontrollably. And he said, come back, come back, come back. And Dr. Olford said, my daddy went back to the hospital, went into the room, and he said, brother, what's wrong? Are you afraid to die? Or you trusted Christ? Just know that he loves you and that you're going to be in heaven because of what he did, not because of what you've done. And he said, no, no, I'm not afraid to die. But he said, I have wasted my life. I've lived my life for myself and for money and for pleasure. I'm not afraid to die now, but I'm ashamed to die and meet Christ, having wasted all of my life and not loved him and served him. Many of you in this building, young and old, will be ashamed if Jesus came today and with what you've done to serve Christ and what you've done with his blessings in your life. And I want to challenge you, live for him now. Live in such a way that you'll not be ashamed to die and not be ashamed to meet him when he comes in the air. But not only did David as a young man live for God, but notice this, he said, I've been young and now I'm old. That's a conjunction, and. That means that David, for the time he trusted the Lord and believed in Jehovah God as a child, all of those years he lived for God. All of those years he trusted the Lord. Did he have failures? Yes, and I'll mention some of those in a minute. But he went all the way through. He served Christ. It's a sad thing that so many young people get in Sunday school and vacation Bible school and want a program, and then when they get in high school or in college, they get out of church. And a good many of them stay out for many years, and then the latter years they'll get back in. But the tragic thing is that percentage is getting smaller and smaller every year of those who will come back. I want to challenge you, you be faithful. You young adults, you be faithful to God. You be in the house of God. You need to be here. Your children need to be here. Every service you meet diminishes you, weakens you as a Christian. Every service you're in will strengthen you as a Christian. It'll help you. Nothing is more important than being at the house of God. Nothing is more important than having your family here to hear the word of God and be around God's people and live for God. David was consistent, but watch, he served him as an old man. He served him as an old man. He had served all of these years. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. And as a man, as a grown man, he was the leader of his nation. He was the king of Israel. And his life and his trust in Christ was invaluable to him in the position God put him. And I don't care what you do with your life or whatever job you're in, it is your relationship with Christ that will benefit you more than any part of your education, more than any of your experience. It is your relationship with Christ. And you have to cultivate that when you're young. And you have that as you go into adult and into your later years of life. David, as a young man, as a man, not only did he lead his nation, not only was he king, but he penned the Psalms. As an adult man, he walked with God, lived for God. Hold your place in Psalms 37, but turn over to Psalm 71. Notice in Psalm 71, and notice what he says in verse 14. He said, but I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. David, in these Psalms are Psalms of praise, and recorded in the Bible are David's outburst from his heart under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God of worship and praise. Let everything that hath the breath praise the Lord. And David said, I'm going to praise him more and more. And many of you, Brother Brad said a while ago that the senior saints are not ashamed to shout. But I'm going to tell you, you ought to start doing it more and more. I think we've skipped a big generation. We skipped from Miss Peggy and Paul and Delores and some of the others, Brother Mitchell. We skipped all the way down to Thomas. What happened to the rest of you? Yeah, you ought to be a shouting praise God. And it ought not be that you get less in your old year. You ought to be praising him more and more. Thank God you're living. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're able to be here, and you know what God's done in your life. And David, as an old man, praised the Lord. He said, I'm going to praise him more and more and more. Not only did he praise the Lord, and not only did he write the Psalms and do those things, but in those latter years, David became a real prayer warrior. Notice in Psalm 71, while you're there, look at verse 18. He said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, he said, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Read this psalm when you get home this afternoon. I don't have time to read it all. But he says this in verse number 8 of 71. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day long. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. David said, I want to just keep serving God. I don't want to quit. And you can serve the Lord. I think I mentioned this the other night. I up the camp meeting in West Virginia. I jokingly said to those guys, Eddie Goddard for years had tried to get me to go and preach in that camp meeting. I just never could get it worked out. And so I've been able to go now it's been 4 years. I had to skip last year. But I told him I went up there to find me some new friends. All my friends were old. And the Friday that I preached, the man who preached before me was 85 years old. The man who introduced me was 81 years old. And the fellow who preached behind me had gray hair and gray beard and everything. And I said, my gracious, I came up here and found that all your friends are old too. But my dear friend, listen, here they are serving God, 85 years old, 80 years old. This week, I and Brother Sam Vance preached and some others preached. Brother Sam Vance is 71 years old, and he's still serving God, still preaching, still pastoring, and still serving God. It's not time to quit. Say amen. Hey, you can retire and draw your pennies, but praise God, that just frees you up to witness more, to visit more, to be more faithful to the house of God, to go to more revivals. Don't sit home and watch Wheel of Fortune and waste the time God gave you to do. Get out and do something for God. Amen. Listen, God, David said, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to praise him more and more. And he said, Lord, I want to die. I want to show this generation thy power, their power. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want to thank God for everybody in this building. But when it comes time to pray, I know you can pray, everybody can pray, and God hears all of our prayers. But I've learned by experience, there's some people in this building whose hair's gray, and they know the real meaning of prayer. And David in his last days became a real prayer warrior. I believe he prayed as a young man. But as an older man, he prayed and sought God. He said, I'm going to praise him more and more. And not only did he pray, not only did he pen the Psalms, not only does he praise the Lord, but he had a plan for the next generation. You remember what David did? David said, we ought to build God a temple. And God gave the instructions on how to build that permanent temple. But he said, David, I'm not going to let you build it. I'm going to let your son build it. He said, but you can gather all the materials. And he had placed at the disposal of his son everything he needed. He had prepared the next generation. And I want to tell you something, dear saints, dear senior saints, it's our responsibility somehow to impart and leave behind something for this next generation. Leave a wonderful example. I want to thank you that in revivals and camp meetings and missions conference, the majority of the people who come to what we might call extracurricular, which they're not, is the main thing, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The majority of people who attend those meetings and the revival, most of them got gray hair. You know why? Because they've learned that they need to be around God's people. And they learn to honor God with their life. And my dear friend, that example that these senior saints are leaving for you and that you see in them, you ought to follow that. It's going to benefit you. It'll cost you if you don't down the road. My dear friend, David had a plan. And he said this. He said, now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Now, I told you I wasn't going to finish. I gave you 3 points. Only got just share a little bit of one of them. But I want to show you just one little thing here in the second point, and I'll be through. David shares some awesome truth with us that we'll look at tonight if you'll come back, and then some practical guidance. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 18 of Psalms 37. Go back to Psalms 37 and verse 18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. You say, Brother Bill, how long are you going to live? Well, I pray God let me live as long as Ms. Mabel here and be faithful. I pray God to give me good health like he's given Brother Paul Lassiter when I'm his age. I pray God to do that. I don't know how long I've got, but the Bible said God knows all of our days and the very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows how long you're going to live. He has that appointment for you. The Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But some of you may not live to be as old as I am. or as old as some of these other folk in here. But God knows all of your days. And God has a plan for your life. But I do know this. He said this, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day of salvation. I've been studying this Bible a long time. There's nowhere in this Bible that says anybody in this building, anybody on the internet, anybody in the radio audience can get saved tomorrow. I cannot, on the authority of God's word, say, tomorrow you can get saved. Tomorrow you can repent. Because James said, who knows what shall be on tomorrow? It's foolishness for us to consider doing something tomorrow when we can do it today. The Bible said, if it's the Lord's will, we should say, tomorrow we'll go and do such and such. But I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what God's will is for your life other than this right now. He's not willing that any should perish. And today is the day of salvation. I do know this. Today's the day you can get saved. If you're here in the building, in the radio audience, internet audience, today's the day you can get saved. I promise you that. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord. But look further at this verse. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. David said, as an old man, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I quite often am around friends who've got some age on them, and they say, I don't know if I'll get to see you next year or not. We left Brother Don Harrell up there in the mountains on Friday morning. Brother Don now is 80, I think he's fixed to be 83. Is that right, Regina? He is 81. And I stood with him on the porch, and he said, I want to tell you I love you. And he said, I'm hoping to see you later in camp meeting. I'll see you a little later. And tears just began to roll down his face. I know what he's thinking. He's thinking he didn't know if he would or not. I don't know if I will or not either. But I can tell you one thing. For those who know the Lord, our inheritance is forever. Hey, if I don't ever get to come back into this building, if I don't ever get to meet you again physically or in person, our inheritance is forever. Just think about it. Praise God around that throne forever and ever and ever. Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. We'll get to live in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friend, David knew one thing. In spite of all that went on in his life, all of the good times, all the bad times, all of his victories, all of his failures, his inheritance was forever. Now, here's a question. Do you know that? Many of you are good business people, and you've made plans with your retirement. You got money invested. Maybe you got it in real estate or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen to the economy. And you've done all you can. You could lose every dime you've got. Economy could crash. Our whole system could collapse. I don't know. America could fall. No, we don't know any of those things. But I can tell you one thing for sure. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that's reserved for us in heaven. There where moth and rust and thief doesn't break through and steal, it's reserved forever in a place called heaven. And you need to know beyond any shadow of doubt, regardless of what happens, regardless of how old you are, that your inheritance is forever. By knowing Jesus Christ. Will you bow with me in prayer this morning? And I hope you'll come back tonight. We'll try to finish the next two points in the message this morning. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. David trusted and served the Lord as a young man throughout all of his life. And then when he became old, he's still serving Jesus. He said, as an old man, I'm going to praise you more and more. I want to show this generation and the generations to come your power. I want to challenge all of our senior saints. Hey, if you're still here, he's not through with you. He's not through with you. There's things for you to do. Be a great prayer warrior. Be as faithful to the house of God as you can. I know physically it's hard for you to be here some, but God's got a gift. I want to thank the Lord for many of our senior saints who write to me and send me cards, and I know you do it for others. You may be homebound, but you could write cards for the Lord and send them to people, write little notes and little letters, make phone calls. Most of all, you could pray. I know you can touch heaven. You pray for your church and pray for your preacher and pray for folks that are lost and need a touch. We've had a great day already, I have. But I wonder this morning, if there's a man or a woman, a boy, girl in here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I do not know that I'm saved. I could not say with certainty that I have an inheritance that fadeth not away. I couldn't say for sure that if I died now, I'd go to heaven. And preacher, I want you to pray for me that I know I'm saved before it's too late." Would you raise your hand across this building? Nobody see it but me and God. "Preacher, I'm lost, and I don't know if I'm saved, but I want to know that. Preacher, will you pray for me?" How many of you in this building this morning are saved? But somehow or another, having been saved, you've kind of got in a pattern of just kind of coasting along. You've not really been serving the Lord. Your worship is not escalating. It's kind of vacillating back and forth. You don't have a real burden to pray. You've not been inviting folks to church. You've not been faithful to the things of God as you ought to be. And you say, "Brother Billy, I want to be faithful to Him for my own sake, for the glory of God, for my family, but for all those around me. I realize I have responsibility to give an example and live for God. And I want to be an example of a believer. Preacher, pray for me." Would you raise your hand? God bless you this morning. You pray, "God, help me to be a good example. Live my life to honor Him, glorify Him." Pray for me and Regina that God will use us. I don't know what your need is this morning. Some of you have been praying about a church home. Some of you may be lost. Somebody raise their hand. But I want to encourage you, if God spoke to your heart and you want to make a commitment to Him, you come get around this altar. If you're not saved and you didn't raise your hand, Christ loves you and died for you to save you now. And I want to just ask you this morning, if somebody doesn't stand up and live for God in America, we're gone as a nation. I want to ask you, would you be that one like David when he stood up, when the giant had backed down all the army of Israel? He stood. He didn't stand in his own strength. Will you? I don't know what God wants you to do. May not ever be seen in public. May be that God will just lead you to be a prayer warrior at home. But you want to do what you can to honor God with the rest of your life. Maybe you want to just come get around this altar this morning. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you and give you glory for the blessed privilege of being here. And God, I ask the Holy Ghost of God to bless now. Thank you again for our senior saints that are here, those who are visitors, those who are members. God, thank you for their love for Jesus, their faithfulness. Our Father, to support the ministry and the church, but for their life of example in what they lived and a challenge to all of our lives together. God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to move and help people to be obedient, to do what God you have them to do. Now this morning, as we're praying, dear friends, I've already asked God's blessing on you. And I prayed for you before I ever got here. Many have already come to the altar. Let me invite you to come. We'll keep our heads bowed in prayer. Brother Brad's going to lead us, or he'll sing for us. We'll not keep you just very few little time, but you come right now. If God's leading you to come, you come right now. God help us.